Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 465. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my week-long vacation and enjoying the new toilet and bidet is finally installed after about a month of headaches and shenanigans.
Plumbing can be a little tricky.
No, the issue was...
Oh, really?
And this is something I didn't realize, was that toilets come in more than one size. And for whatever reason, even though we have a new home, our toilet wasn't a standard 12-inch size.
Oh, okay.
It was a 10-inch, so the original toilet my wife ordered was too big, so she got a smaller one. And then that one shipped. We were about to get it installed, and then they realized it was chipped, so we had to take that back.
Oh, geez.
Had to order another one again, made sure it was delivered to Home Depot, so they checked to make sure it wasn't damaged, then picked it up from Home Depot, took it home, checked to make sure it wasn't damaged again, and then finally was installed today.
That is quite a saga.
Yeah, in addition to like getting an outlet added to the bathroom, because apparently the bidet takes electricity, and since it was a energy hog, I had to get a quote unquote high end outlet, which somehow led to $450.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So.
Did they have? They didn't have to make your panel any bigger, did they?
No, they just had to make sure
the circuit was
in without blowing anything out, basically.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, we want to make sure you can turn your light on and you don't, everything works. So, yeah. But after all the headaches, all the shenanigans, I gave it a test run and it's like, wow, I've been depriving myself all these years.
You know, that was something I did not take advantage of when I was over in Europe, but I tend to gravitate now towards the latter stages of things here. So yeah, I would imagine having that installed would be nice.
Yes, and speaking of what's nice and what's painful, Jeff Hardy's earlobes.
Yeah, that was certainly an ending to SmackDown Live that I was not expecting. I was not expecting Jeff Hardy's gauges to be used as a torture mechanism. It has made Randy Orton interesting for the first time to me in a very long time.
Yeah, because starting from the pay-per-view, you know, like, I know they had interaction when Jeff Hardy first got on the SmackDown, because Randy Orton was challenging, Randy Orton was about to challenge Shelton Benjamin, and Jeff Hardy came out, and Randy Orton gave him kind of like this look, and then you didn't see Randy Orton since, like, he had this kind of look like, you know, he felt kind of put upon, but then he just vanished, so you didn't even think about Randy Orton, then he shows up at the pay-per-view, beats up Jeff Hardy, and I figured he was going to interfere tonight, but I forgot all about it, so the way the match was set up, they were like, oh, Jeff Hardy's going to do it. When he hit the Swanton, I'm like, okay, Randy's going to pull him out, and Randy was just brutalizing him, like, for a while, kept saying, like, you want to know why this is going on, and everybody's like, yeah, he's like, well, you're going to have to wait, basically, like, you have to wait till the writers come up with a reason, but no, when he grabbed him by the ears, I thought he was going to rip it open. The way he was pulled, I'm like, are they going to really, like, how far are they going to go? That looked painful. Like, that looked very painful.
I cannot imagine that felt good in any way. Yeah, I didn't want to ever do that to my earlobes.
I have friends who have that. And it's, I always wonder, like, you know, is it, they like, no, it doesn't hurt. You just keep them in there. And you get used to them. I'm like, yeah, but I'm guessing if you never had anyone try to yank them, it probably would be fine. But no, that whole beatdown was kind of on the brutal side. He was banging his head against the steps. He DDT'd him on the floor.
Like, the head stomp.
Yeah, he was not taking it easy on him. And he was just putting the boots. And Nakamura's just looking at him like, my name Bennett, I ain't in it.
Yeah, I blame Nakamura for sticking around that long. Like, I would have at least gotten a better vantage point to stay away from Randy Orton, just in case his attention got divided for some reason.
I think it's kind of like established that Jeff Hardy did something to piss off Randy Orton, so I guess we'll find out in the coming weeks. I'm laughing at Hill Nakamura. Like, basically, he's cutting promos like Carmella, and it's just amazing. Like, you know, Jeff Hardy has tears of a clown. He uses his paint to hide his pain. He's crying because I beat him fair and square, and I'm going to beat him again. God bless America. Like, just so simple and just dickish. And just like, this. Yeah, Nakamura being a heel was an awesome move because he's just so much more entertaining than a heel.
I don't know how he worked in New Japan, but he has certainly found his inner Shinsuke in the WWE in this role. Like, it almost feels like one of those things that happened, well, with the guy that he feuded with at first, AJ Styles. You know, AJ Styles came in and they didn't let him talk too much, and he just kind of seemed awkward off the bat. And then they kind of changed his persona a little bit, and all was well. And the same thing's happening with Nakamura. That the second he went heel, it's been nothing but good stuff, and this week wasn't any different.
Yeah, because he's an asshole, but he's funny. I mean, that's just a perfect vibe. Like, you want to, like, he gets booed during his matches, but he gets laughs and cheers during his promos. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Kind of like, people acknowledge that he's entertaining, but they'll still, like, you know, boo him properly when he's having a match because he's wrestling people that they like.
Do I want to say that they do that a little bit for Elias?
Yeah. Because the same thing, like, with Elias, where he gets cheered when he's doing his concert stuff, even when he was running down the crowd. But he doesn't get cheered in his matches.
Yeah. I guess that's the reason I thought about him as something of a comparison. But, I mean, those two guys are kind of pretty much in their own little situations. You know, and I think they're both kind of the same way. They are pretty entertaining, even with their insults, usually. So it helps, It helps people boo them in the long run.
Yeah. Like, and Miz is also on that boat, too, where...
Oh. Well, I think, he gets booed all the time.
He gets booed during his promos, but, like, he's so entertained that sometimes he'll get cheered anyway. Never gets cheered his matches. Yeah, him tonight, like, it started off with the regular, I'm the Miz, I'm a crack jokes promo. I don't know what it is when he talks about Daniel Bryan. Like, it's just something about Daniel Bryan that just, like, brings out a certain type of fire in the Miz, because he started going in, and he was just going, like, he was going deep, like, you know, your comeback's been a failure, everybody talk about, like, you this great wrestler, you just over the hill, but nobody admit it. He's just going on and on, and, like, the more he's talking, it's kind of like, it sounds 35% truthful, and then you realize where it's coming from. You realize how much nonsense it sounds, but it's like, he has enough passion in his promos, you forget that it's a bunch of nonsense.
He just has he's been killing it anyway with the promos recently. Really, like, it kind of started with that first one, and it really seemed to kick him into even a different gear than the Miz had been on previously. Which is kind of saying something, really, in and of itself, since he'd kind of made his living talking anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely a great talker. He's a great promo. But whenever Daniel Bryan's involved, it's just like at a different level. And Daniel Bryan came out pissed. He wasn't there with the jokes. He wasn't there with the snarky comments. The pallbearer guy, whoever that was, the casket carrier.
Oh.
What'd he do? Why, like, he's just there doing his job. Daniel Bryan just the boost to both of them, gave that dude the jumping knee, and I'm like, he didn't do nothing wrong.
Yeah, that was not very nice of him. He really should have allowed them to get out of his way and just take the Miz out.
Yeah, but, you know, like Daniel Bryan's a bully. People tend to forget that because he's like 5'7". So they let that slide. But no, SmackDown was fun as usual. You know, it had basically, what, 3 matches?
Yeah, there...
No, 4 matches because it had the opening match with AJ Styles and Andrade's Almas, which was good and unexpected. It had the women's match with Becky Lynch and Mandy Rose, Kofi Kingston, Russell, Eric Young, and then the main event. Oh, cause unless you want to count that squash, like Samoa Joe and Ty Dillinger. And I'll admit, I did laugh at that R-Truth line because, one, I forgot R-Truth was on SmackDown. And, two, that was one of those, you know, I've seen those type of, you know, little skits before, but the last time I saw that where, you know, somebody's talking to somebody and you realize he's on the phone was like The Rock and Mick Foley. They had one of those skits. Like The Rock was on the cell phone. He wasn't paying attention to nothing Mankind said. Mankind was having a full-blown conversation and Rock's turned like, what the hell are you talking about? The Rock's on the phone. I didn't even see that the little headset thing in R-Truth's ear because I don't really see that anymore.
I remember,
like the little headset thing. Like, it used to be obnoxious when you first saw it.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't see people on the phone that much in public anymore.
No, like, yeah, I always see it on older gentlemen still. I would say the gentlemen in their 50s and 60s still seem to like that earpiece for some reason.
Well, R-Truth is not young, so...
Yeah, I'm just throwing that one out there. I am not going to be in that good of shape whenever I'm his age. So,
he's 46.
40, yeah. Well, yeah. God bless him. He's in great shape at 46, and he's still collecting quite a paycheck, I'm sure.
Yeah, God bless him indeed. So, I was definitely not hate on that. Like, you know, it was a goofy segment, but I laughed because it was effective. And then the Samoa Joe just mopping the floor with Todd Dillon, just like, yeah, you know. Just in case you forgot about Samoa Joe, you had a quick thing with Rusev. And this SmackDown has a good job of, like, they don't need everybody on the show to have the show keep moving. You know, they'll just have their segments, they'll get their point across, and they'll keep it forward. You know, like, you didn't have to have Carmella have a match. You just have her interact with Paige after Becky Lynch has a match. Like little stuff like that, so... That's why I like SmackDown. It's kind of like going to a nice restaurant. You get your appetizer, you get your entree, you get your dessert, and you out. Like, it never fails. Raw is kind of like, you know, going to a buffet. You might hit a few good meals, but you got to wade through a whole bunch of trash.
Yeah, man, I have not been to a buffet in a long time. I do not have the appetite for that anymore. But Raw always, it's still a task to watch that thing. Even when I'm fast forwarding, because they use roughly the same amount of people as SmackDown, but they have an extra hour to fill.
Yeah, it's kind of just hard to like care about everything if you're not invested in the people. Like, you know, because it's not like the storyline's necessarily bad. It's just so much. You get tired of it. And I'll say this, and I'll give kudos. Like, I have issues with WWE in general about some things. I'll give kudos to them as far as, and it's funny because you've been talking about it for a while, the Sasha Banks Bayley stuff.
Oh.
Because I would say 6 years ago, this feud would have looked a lot different. I think they're doing like a new... They're trying to do something nuanced with the women that they normally don't do. And I give kudos to that. I can see why people get angry. They just feel like it's just being dragged out. Like, you know, are they feuding or are they not feuding? And it's like, they have a complicated relationship. I mean, that's basically the feud. Like, they're real friends that get on each other's nerves and had ups and downs. And it's been going on for, what, 2 years? Counting NXT time?
Something like that. Because I know that I didn't watch that feud develop much in NXT. But it has been, I ever since they both, well, Banks came up first, but Bayley wasn't that far behind. And the second that Bayley was on TV, they linked the two of them.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, we're friends, and then we're not friends, and then we're friends again, and I'm not sure. And then they had all that stuff going on, will they or won't they, went all through WrestleMania, teased that. Kept going through WrestleMania, teased it some more, and then it's finally thinking like, you know, okay, they're enemies, and then they try to work it out, and it comes this week, and it's kind of like, you know, you see like them looking at each other, it's like they almost like roommates that just can't, like, you know, I should have moved out 6 months ago, but I can't find a new place, and you can't afford to lease by yourself.
Oh man, I saw a similar face, but a somewhat different situation.
Like we've all seen that face, and then they have the match, and it's kind of like, you know, Sasha jumps in. This whole thing is like, you know, I got issues with you, but like I can beat you up when nobody else can. And then that promo backstage, and then like Sasha's going on like, you know, I love this about you. I love that you love the fans. The fans love you. And yada, yada, yada. And it's like, you know, I love you. I always have. I always will. But they didn't play it like it's romantic. They just play it like, you my friend. And you always going to be my friend, even if I can't stand you. Like, that's not going to change. And
yeah.
Kudos to, like, Cole and Corey. Cole and Byron Saxton, they played off like, you know, this is a complicated relationship. They try to work stuff out. But I was laughing my ass off at Corey Graves because he had this face like, I don't know what's going on, and I don't even know what to say without getting in trouble. He just had like this kind of bemused look, like what the hell is this? But I don't want to say anything because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean it's a little bit of a tough pickle, especially when he has had a very strong anti Sasha Banks campaign going on for quite some time, so yes. For her to bust out the I love you for Bayley, it does kind of put him in a spot where he should be speechless somewhat too.
Yeah, and considering his stuff with CM Punk, I would think somebody like Corey Graves could appreciate how complicated relationships and friendships could be. And I was just laughing at kind of like that's happening on his watch. And he can't say anything because he's been trashed to Sasha Banks for about 8 months, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he still was even trashing her earlier in the show.
She's just a horrible friend. I wouldn't trust her. And the funny thing is, he's not wrong.
Oh.
Like, if you see the feud, it's like, because it says a lot that Bayley beat the brace off Sasha Banks and jumped her, and everybody was sharing Bayley because it was kind of like Sasha just been a horrible friend and a horrible partner all this time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's one part of the development that you can't really pay off until a later stage. Because, yeah, Bayley has been stabbed in the back. Like, even if it's been in... Like, I even think that, I'm going to say what, it was the Rumble that she eliminated Bayley in?
It was that, I know, Elimination Chamber, that Sasha stabbed in the back there too.
Like, oh, yeah, she kicked her down there.
Yeah, it's been multiple times that Sasha Banks has done that, and her whole thing is like, you know, we're friends, but a match is a match, and yada, yada, yada. And it's kind of like, yeah, but after a while, it's going... People like Bayley. Even when they were booing her, they weren't booing her because they disliked her. They were booing her because she wasn't getting treated the way she should have been. But Bayley is naturally likable, and Sasha is naturally unlikable. So push come to shove, you can see how that goes there. it's just like, I'm wondering where they go with this, because it's this whole thing, Kurt Angle, like, you guys don't work it out, I gotta trade one of you to SmackDown. And it's like, do they work it out? Do they not work it out? Like, something's gonna happen. I'm curious to see what's gonna happen, but I have no clue on where they're going with this.
I mean, it is one of the more interesting things that they've brought up recently. Like, I really wasn't as disappointed that they, with how things worked out, I wasn't as disappointed with them continuing them to be friends, I guess. Because the whole double doctor part did not seem to do them a whole lot of good. So they're actually moving this forward, or the story forward, finally. And yeah, I guess a complicated relationship would help out. Like, the women have been so one-dimensional, even to this point. Like, neither of them have had characters that well developed on WWE TV. And giving them anything like this is bound to help them in the long run.
Yeah, I notice that happens a lot on Raw. Like, the SmackDown women tend to have personalities. The Raw woman is just like, you do this, you do that. And I will say this. This feud would probably end a lot differently if Eric Bischoff was still the general manager. Because I remember those HLA days on Raw. And I made a joke saying kind of like, how differently would the women's revolution would be if we were doing those old Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie storylines with, like, Sasha Banks and Charlotte? Like, I can't even wrap my head in saying, like, you know, Mandy Rose versus Becky Lynch in a mud wrestling match or put-in match. Like, I can't even, like, nothing in my brain, it does not even click right. Like, can you imagine, like, oh, Ronda Rousey versus such and such
in a pillow fight match.
Yeah, like, it's just so you can't even fathom it because they moved so far from that. But wasn't like it was a while ago. And that ago, two generations of women ago, like Kelly's generation was still doing those type of matches.
It was not that far back. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I would imagine that the Bellas were involved in some of those matches.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's the generation where it kind of like phased out.
Yeah.
And it might have been right when that generation, because it wasn't like that long ago. But like, if somebody said that, if you turned on a Raw SmackDown, you saw a match like that now, you'd like, your brain wouldn't be able to like adapt to it, because like, what is this nonsense? And it's just funny like how that's changed considering how that's happened. But the flip side of that, and we've talked about it, where beside the mixed tag challenge, it's like the men and women live in alternate universes. Like, I can believe, you know, that.
Yeah, that has not changed since that event at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I could believe that, you know, Finn Balor doesn't know any women on the show besides Sasha Banks, because they were in a tag. They were a tag team. You know, like, they never, like, if they aren't their manager or they aren't, like, married in real life, they never interact with each other on the big shows.
Because the closest thing, and this is a stretch, mind you. Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan did happen to run into No Way Jose and his entourage backstage.
Yeah, and Tyler Breeze the week before. Like, and kudos to them, because they're the only ones that's interacting with people, and that's by smacking drinks off their hands. But beyond that, it's kind of like, have you seen Ember Moon talk to a man on Raw? No.
Have I seen Ember Moon talk on Raw? No.
Barely, yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of like, have you seen, you know, Sonya Deville talk to Samoa Joe? Could you imagine Sonya Deville saying anything to Samoa Joe? Like, oh, nice shorts. Where'd you get them from?
You teach me that coquina clutch.
Yeah, like, it's just, and it's weird where it's just like, they don't, and it used to be a thing. And in NXT is the thing. It's just like the main roster, for whatever reason, is kind of like we're going to keep the men doing this and the women doing that, unless it's like a special occasion where WrestleMania, where they had like Miz, Maurice, with Cena and Nikki Bella and Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle with Steph and Triple H. But beyond that, it's kind of like if that's not happening and it's not like, you know, Naomi looking out for one of, for her husband, or Lana with Rusev, they might as well be on, you know, separate shows.
Yeah, and even the married people don't even, they only act like married people when it's most called for, when the other person's in peril. Like, if Naomi's just having a regular match, Jimmy's not out there.
No, she'll just run out there when Luke Harper's about to murder him. Like, please, we just bought a house, don't kill my husband. Yeah, that's so funny when that happened, when they were just beating the crap out of the Usos and she just ran out like, please don't hurt the tag team champions. So, but no, I always wonder why they made that decision, and I mean, I still can't figure it out, but it wasn't by accident. I'm sure it was a reason, but they don't, it's only on the main shows, like, even on, because NXT, they interact, and even when they were doing, like, 205 Live, when Sasha Banks was on that show once or twice, and, like, a mixed tag, like, I think she was on there for, like, 2 weeks, she interacted with them.
Oh, okay.
So that's back when they had people from the main roster show up for, like, a little bit, like, they kind of moved away from that, too. So, but,
gotcha.
You know, it's weird. Not as weird as Ronda Rousey, not her hairstyle, because I didn't mind that. Although, you made the joke, when you see a white woman with that type of braids, she's going to beat you up. Yes, I watched enough Jerry Springer to know that's a fact. But no, it's like once a month she does that weird eyelash mascara thing where she just looks like a damn Ninja Gaiden devil. And I don't know why she does it, but whenever she does it, it's like, yeah, she's about to beat up somebody.
Hey, yeah, it really, when she has her regular, like, happy face on, it doesn't look very good, but the minute she goes to, I'm Ronda Rousey, I'm gonna whoop your ass mode, it looks awesome.
Yes. And it's just perfect. Because I remember the last time she had the red eye, like, the red eye shade, and, like, this looks dumb, until she frowned her face up, it's like, oh, she looks like a video game boss. Like, I'm not messing with her looking like that. Because she's... It's funny where the juxtaposition, she's all smiling and happy. You don't think anything of her. And all she got to do is make her face a certain way that you realize, yeah, this woman can hurt you. And she's just so damn strong. Like, out of all the physical traits, you just forget how strong she is. Like Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle isn't big. Kurt Angle can muscle up basically anybody he was in a ring with.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, those Olympic athletes, like Olympic athletes, you see like Chad Gable, like, yeah, these amateur wrestlers are really strong in real life. They don't got to look like Ryback to suplex you on your damn skull.
Yeah, and Rousey is one of those, I mean, there couldn't be a bigger success for the WWE with how things are turning out with her. Like, she is playing her role perfectly. And, honestly, I can see her going on a crazy undefeated streak before someone finally breaks the streak.
She is going to main event at WrestleMania sooner than later. And no one's going to be surprised. Like, everybody likes her. Casual fans, hardcore fans, like, the only people that don't like her, people complain on the internet, but the hell with them. It's like, she goes to, like, these smart towns, and people chanting for her name, and all of that. She didn't earn her spot, pay her dues. Nobody's complaining about that, because she's going out there, and she's performing. Like, people like her, and they want to see her succeed. Like, it's something that she got where it's like, people want to cheer for her. Same thing when she was in UFC, it's like, She's got that thing. And they have maximized that, and kind of like, you know, you want to see her beat the brakes off Alexa Bliss. Like, because because Alexa Bliss is an awesome heel, and it doesn't hurt that she's walking around with Mickey James, and Mickey James is aging backwards. kudos to Mickey James. And it's funny, wrestling fans have been losing their mind over Mickey James for over a decade. Usually you get tired. Yeah. Because when she first came to WWE, people were like, oh, who's this girl falling out her dress, pretending to be a lesbian, and just this hot broad, like, to the point where they turned on Trish Stratus. And Trish Stratus was Trish Stratus back then. So.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I was one of the early convertees to the approval of Mickey James in our wrestling lives. And, yeah, I mean, it, yeah, she is a very attractive, woman who is close to my age and in
yes.
awesome shape.
Yes, she is. And if, in case you aren't sure, all you have to do is go on Twitter when she comes out. Cause I only have to watch Raw to know when Mickey James comes out. All I have to do is go on Twitter and like 15 people comment about, wow, Mickey James is hot to trot, or Mickey James is something. So, like, yes. Hotter than fish grease, finer than baby hairs. Like, you'll see everything on Twitter if you're going to call it Mickey James. And she can still wrestle. She still got it. And you think about the people who started around her time or a little bit after her, they're retired.
Well, yeah, and I guess she's definitely another one that I don't know if she maybe got involved in too many of those style of matches. It, you know, the pillow fights and things of that nature, because they probably still had that a little bit, because yeah, it happened when Trish was around.
Yeah, but they graduated when they were past that, because even when they were having those matches, Trish wasn't having those, like, they were still having those type of matches, but Trish and Lita, like, the top women weren't having those matches anymore. That was kind of like the Candice Michelle's. It was funny where he was almost like a pay your dues thing. You start off doing pillow fights and mud matches, and you work your way up to get past that. And Mickey James, I don't think she ever had to really deal with those type of matches, because she was always kind of like
upper echelon anyway.
Yeah, she started off feuding with Stratus, and then, you know, she was champ, and then feuding with Lay Cool and whatever was in between. So, and like, seeing her now, it's like, yeah, she's... Even though it was hilarious when people were trying to make out how she was old. No, she was old for a woman. And she pointed out, like, it's plenty of men that's older than me. You know, y'all never talk about them being old. Like,
oh.
And I remember when she said that, too, and got chairs. Like, we got all these old-ass men, but you never bring up their age. Why are you bringing up my age? Like, last time I looked, I still got it. And people were like, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
I was laughing at that feud she had Alexa Bliss. When Alexa basically called her like an old washed up rag, I'm like, we have working eyes, Alexa.
We know this is not the case. And yeah, I mean, she's probably got, without even looking at ye old Wikipedia, I'm going to guess she's probably a solid 5 years younger than Bobby Roode, let's say.
I wouldn't say five, but she is younger than Bobby Roode. So I think he's 40, and
yeah.
She's 38.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought she was 36 for some reason.
But no, I'm sure there's plenty of people. I'm like the Hardys. Bobby Lashley for that. Like, Lashley's 42. Like, they got plenty of people that's like, because we made this comment, WWE doesn't have too many young people anymore like they used to, where if Roman Reigns is like the young whippersnapper being like 30, 31, and like Braun Strowman being like his mid-20s is like young, because everybody else is like mid-30s and up.
Yeah.
And you go on Wikipedia and start Googling people's age, it's like, wow, they're old. Wow, I'm old. It's how it goes. Like, you know, that's why I laugh when I see something like Dolph Ziggler, and it's like, yeah, why am I still seeing Dolph Ziggler? He wasn't young a decade ago, and that was a decade ago.
Yeah, this is officially one of the stranger things to have happened in the recent past. everyone was thinking that Dolph Ziggler was on the way out. But he is full-blown. They're going to give him at least, I would think, a somewhat extended run. Is the secondary title holder.
Why?
That is a question that I'm not sure that any of us can answer. Because I guess I don't get it either. Like, because it does seem, and it's fine by me if they separate him and Drew McIntyre. At least for Drew McIntyre's sake. I don't know what the value. Well, actually, I do. He still gets a reaction.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I get it. It's just kind of like, why? Like, it's not even Dolph Ziggler as far as it gets to a point where it's like you have your mind made up. You get to a point where you have your mind made up about somebody. And once you get there, it's kind of hard to, like, snap out of it. It's like, I'm just tired of it's nothing personal with Dolph Ziggler. I'm just tired of seeing him. And there's nothing he can do now that's going to make me change my mind. Like, yeah, I don't worry about selling the shows. I worry about winning titles. He should have said that 4 years ago. Like, I'm just, him and Drew McIntyre with the new HBK and Diesel, I'm like, huh? That seems like that's kind of insulting to Shawn Michaels. Like, I know that was a comment a long time, but it's like, you know, you can't just be worrying about potential sooner or later. Like, you know, you can't be in year seven and be like, you know, one day he's going to get it all together. Like, that's not how it works. I watched enough sports to realize, like, you reach a certain point and it's like, you are what you are.
Well, yeah, because they'd still have some work to do if they wanted to push him as the world title contender. But, I mean, yeah, like, it's still kind of like strange enough.
Bus crash.
I still don't understand why you bury the guy for 4 years. And then, at least from all indications, re-sign him to a fairly lucrative deal.
He can still have good matches. He can still do things. And, you know, I know people felt a certain way that, you know, him beating Seth. I'm assuming that's so Seth can do important stuff. It was more like to free up Seth than, like, push Dolph.
Yeah.
And it's like they do need mid-card people. And it's like their mid-card was kind of funny where they didn't have – it's babyface heavy. Like, you know, now it's like, well, who's Dolph Ziggler going to wrestle? It's like, okay, Bobby Roode? So you're going to wrestle a man older than him? Like, it's a heel. No one cares about wrestling a face that should be a heel. Okay.
Yep,
and
yep.
I guess, like, that's what you're bringing me. Like, I'm just kind of like, you know, you just go some, you want to go Cracker Barrel for breakfast? He's like, okay. Like, you don't feel, you're not excited about it, but if you're hungry, you just want to eat. And that's what this feud feels like. It's like I'm going to Cracker Barrel to eat the French toast breakfast. Okay?
I have not had the French toast breakfast at Cracker Barrel before. I suppose maybe I should check that out.
I mean, it's nice, but I don't get excited about it. It's more like, you know, I'm hungry and I don't feel like eating a bowl of cereal. So, yeah. No. Raw is just like, it's a lot of stuff like that on Raw. And we can't talk about Raw without talking about your favorite and my favorite, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he will continue to get airtime everywhere on podcasts and message boards and Twitters everywhere.
And you know what? The funny thing is, we're doing a show, and Roman Reigns didn't do anything wrong. People still don't care. Like, Roman Reigns lost clean on the pay-per-view. Still didn't matter. And I'm glad he lost after talking all that shit, like what Bob did and Bob didn't do this. And because when I saw the preview and the breakdown, I got so aggravated because I don't know if I talked to you about it. I know I talked to Jeremy about it. The biggest issue with Roman Reigns is you have WWE TV and Michael Cole telling you how special Bobby Lashley was doing this outside stuff and how successful he was. But then you got Roman Reigns saying how it was a failure and he was selfish and he was a glory hound. And then you have Michael Cole saying, well, you know, some people think Roman Reigns is a trailblazer. Other people think he's an egomaniac. When have you had your lead commentator call your top babyface an egomaniac?
Well, I mean, it is a different time, but I still don't think that it's the right time to go with that.
Yeah, they've never did that with John Cena. They'll say John Cena, like him or not, or they call him the most polarizing wrestler on the roster, but they never, like, say anything denigrating. There's no way this is called somebody egomaniac in a nice way. And I remember when he said that a couple weeks ago, and I was dumbstruck. It's like, they gotta be doing this for the purpose of Roman Reigns. they aren't just doing this just to do this. Like, you know. And he lost clean, and I was surprised he lost.
I was quite surprised he lost too.
He should have lost, but I was still surprised that he lost. And then he comes out like, yeah, I don't have any excuses, and I don't even care about Brock Lesnar. I just want to fight. It's like, wait, you were doing all that whining about how you were the uncrowned champion because you cleaned the coffee grounds and the locker room coffee maker, and you didn't park in handicap parking like these other jokes. Like you already showed up to work, and now you lost one time, and now you don't care anymore. Like, that's all that took. I just want to fight. What? Like, I'm watching this, it's like, I heard you whine for 2 months about how you the real champ and nobody else shows up and they're busy having hobbies and you punching the time card and you take the trash out and catering and yada, yada, yada. You lose to Bobby Lashley one time after Bobby Lashley makes fun of you for pretending to be the locker room sheriff. And now it's just like, I just want to fight people.
Yeah, I mean, they show glimpses of the Roman Reigns that people probably want him to be, but he's not going to be that guy. You know, if he was just kind of a silent badass or just knuckle-up kind of guy, it would work way better.
Either be the sexy badass you were with the Shield, or be a dickhead like you were in NXT with a suit on. Don't try to be this whole mixture of you can't be a tough guy whining about management. Imagine Stone Cold, like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin gonna whoop some ass as soon as he find a parking spot. that ain't how it works. Like, you can't be a badass complaining about the rules. You make your own rules and you break the rules. And they don't know what they want to do with Roman Reigns. And this whole, why isn't Bobby Lashley just getting a title shot? Like, he won. He beat Roman Reigns clean. Everybody else in these matches lost last time I watched the pay-per-view. We got to do this whole song and dance, and now you got to see Roman Reigns versus Lashley again. I seriously hope they don't have Reigns win next week.
I'm not sure, like you said, the crowd did not behave in Pittsburgh there after Reigns lost. I'm not sure if there's anything at this point that could really rehab him in the sense that the WWE wants to rehab him in, at least.
Have him be a heel for 6 months and just be a badass heel and then they'll cheer you. I mean, it says a lot where, and we'll get to the Pittsburgh crowd, where fans are getting tired of Brock Lesnar having the belt because they don't see him. But that doesn't mean they want Reigns to have it. They just don't want Brock to have it anymore. It's like, that is not, unless it's kind of like you're going to have that match happen just for Braun Strowman to cash in. Having Roman Reigns wrestle Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam just seems stupid.
Well, yeah, and it, especially since it's going to be Lashley Reigns 2, it's just like, hold on, then why wasn't that last match for the number one contendership? Like, I felt like both guys were pretty much foregone conclusions in their matches anyway. Even though Seth got freed up to be in the main event, I did not expect him to be in the main event fold at this moment.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like they're saving him for later with that. And I would not be surprised if they're saving Braun for later, because the way he's just murdering Kevin Owens, you can easily see Owens costing him his cash in. Because otherwise, it's like, this just makes no sense. Kevin Owens turning to Mankind 2.0 and damn near dying every time he gets involved with, Braun Strowman. Like, it has to have a. They like him enough to have him in the spot, and it's got to be payoff sooner or later, because it's like, Braun Strowman talks about, I don't care about these matches. I got the briefcase so I can cash in when I want. And he's right, but it just seems weird. Somebody that big just gonna, he's just gonna run down to the ring with the briefcase, like ring the bell. Like he doesn't need to do that anyway. So the fact that he has that briefcase is just hilarious.
Yeah, it's still a really odd thing for him to have that, but it does. Well, I guess I always kind of liked when the people with the briefcase tried to be number one contender also, because that still made a great deal of sense to me. If you have the briefcase, that means even if you lose, you can re-challenge for it at any time.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for somebody to win the briefcase and then like win the Royal Rumble,
Oh, yeah.
and then just like have a match at like Mania, get a disqualification, and then just cash in and just win. Like this cheat, like start the match and just bash him with a chair.
Yeah, that would be an awesome way to go. That would.
It's like I'm surprised, it's kind of like that would just imagine going to WrestleMania and that happened. You paid money, like you'd be pissed. I've always thought of that idea, and my favorite one's like, why does the world champ just get in the Royal Rumble and win so he can skip WrestleMania?
They'd always find some way to resolve that problem.
I'm like, who are you challenging at WrestleMania? Nobody. I'm going to Cancun. See you on the Raw after Mania. I'm out. That'd be something like a heel would do, and of course they try to find something. But it's like the rules. You say, whoever wins get the challenge for the belt. I'ma challenge myself. Here we go.
It's gonna be tough.
Like I've always thought about those little small things in wrestling the same way, kind of like when they have these no hold barred matches and you can do almost anything. It's like, why don't somebody just pull out, you can't pull out a gun because that's illegal, but get a taser, pull out a pepper spray, a smoke grenade, you can hit somebody with a trash can and that's okay, with a kendo stick, hit him with a sledgehammer, stab him. Why can't you stab somebody? You can hit somebody in the head with a damn bat in a no holds barred match and be fine. You trying to tell me you can't stab them? I'm not saying like shoot them.
No, you can't do anything that would cause blood directly, I
Okay.
suppose.
Hit them with a car.
Hey, they'd probably let it slide.
Like, Braun Strowman's dropping buildings on people like he's Godzilla. So, like, I always wonder, those whole, because, the triple threat match is the same way, like, it's no DQ. So it's like, I would just tie somebody up and then tie up the other person, get the three count. I mean, it's cheating, but I know Cena did that crap. He had a last man standing match. He pulled out some duct tape and tied up Batista so he can win. And I remember watching this, and I remember people just crapped all over that finish because they're like, oh, John Cena's showing ingenuity. It's like, this is some Looney Tunes shit. Because Batista's still awake, struggling around, and he was like, this is nonsense. And I think that's right before he quit. Like, that was the last match. Because I think the next night on Raw, he came out in the wheelchair. He's like, you want me to quit? I quit. So that's why I remember that match, because it was like nonsense like that.
Oh, well, sometimes it's probably better to take some time off from the WWE.
Yes, he seems to be doing better for it. And kudos kudos to him. And the reason why I brought up that match is because I wanted to be in a decent mood before I talked about the pay-per-view. I know Pittsburgh is your town. And, yeah, how can I put this nicely? I'm sick and tired of WWE trials in these pay-per-views. I've had it. Like, I have reached my breaking point where I don't even want to watch them, depending on the city they're in.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I guess I don't remember anything one way or the other about a Pittsburgh crowd. But this one in particular was something else.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's not, because Pittsburgh has had good crowds before, and I remember shows like that. So I don't even blame Pittsburgh. I just blame the fact, like, it's something about these pay-per-views and these big shows where WWE fans are just like, I want to be part of the show stuff. And there's two complaints you can make about the pay-per-view. You can either say it was too long, which was fine, or you could say that AJ Styles should be in the main event, which is also fine. But all I used to hear all the time is people complain about, you know, people turn on the pay-per-views because Roman Reigns is in the main event and I'm sick of Roman Reigns, yada, yada, yada. You had Roman Reigns in the middle of the show clean. And you had your hero, Seth Rollins. You know you're going to get a guaranteed 30-minute match. Seth Rollins deserves his chance. Seth Rollins, who's the chosen one? Monday Night Rollins, Seth, man, we want to see. And he's in there, and y'all want to do the Royal Rumble countdown because y'all bored?
Yeah.
And do the buzzer sound? I'm like, people saying, oh, well, you know, it was cute. I'm like, okay, the first two times, it was cute. They did it every single time. It's like, that's not cute after like minute 19. If you pay money to go to that show, if you're watching that show, it's obnoxious.
Yeah, it was a step too far in crowd fandom. I did like that the one guy from AIW Wrestling, John Thorne, said, I'm thinking about quitting my career as a wrestling promoter after watching that crowd.
Yeah, I saw Seth go on Twitter and make fun of that. He just did the old 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1 as a tweet, because it's kind of like, you out there busting your ass and they out there chanting for beach balls and like go home or don't go. You feel that? You feel a certain way about WWE, feel any way you want. Don't go. You're ruining the show for everybody else. And I'm tired of these subsection of fans dictating how the show can go and messing up for everybody. Like the people who are at the show, the people watching the show, and the wrestlers you say you care about. Like, you can't say you care about Seth Rollins and want to see him shine and then do that shit. And then one of our Vince McMahon's like, you know what the hell, would I do what I want? Because these fans don't know what they want.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't... Like you said, like they got... Everyone got what they wanted, and it didn't go well. Like, I always think that about the... About some of the women sometimes, too. You know, I just don't think that sometimes the crowds behind them, like they... kind of say they are, or at least what I read about. It's just like, I don't think the support is commensurate with what I see written.
I want to see such and such. I get such and such. Not that way. What way? Like, you had Seth Rollins in the main event. You can't talk about, you know, they need to elevate the IC title, make it seem important. Why don't they main event a pay-per-view once? They did that. They main evented the IC title in the Iron Man match, and that was the last match. Like, when's the last time the IC title match was the last match? Bret Hart wrestled British Bulldog.
Yeah, I think Ziggler said it was 7 years ago. That it headlined a pay per view.
I'm trying to remember when that was. Because I know. Wait, did Miz? When Miz and Ziggler feud for the U.S. titles, like, time of his career, was that the last match on that pay-per-view, or was that, like, the middle match?
That would have been less than 7 years ago.
I know. So, that was, like, the U.S. title. I'm trying to remember the last time the IC title was, like, the last match, period, because it's, like, it's the IC title, and I know it's been, like, they've talked about they want to make it important, and sometimes they did something they didn't. Like, that's the last match. You have an Iron Man match, and it's separate. The person you care about, not these big monsters that you say you're tired of. And the crowd was like, oh, we're going to have fun. We're going to entertain ourselves because we're tired. Y'all can't say y'all was tired. We all had all that energy to do that nonsense. And I have to admit, like, since Mania, my wrestling fandom's changed where I enjoy wrestling and I hate everything else around it. Like, I can't stand the fans. I can't stand the backstage stuff. I don't care about none of that. Like, I just want to watch the match and enjoy myself. And these asshole fans are preventing me from doing that to the point where it's like, it's a chore to watch sometimes. It has nothing to do with the wrestlers. It's not fun.
Yeah. I figured we should get around to you mentioned the locker room. There certainly seems to be an open divide amongst those of African American descent about the one Mr. Hulk Hogan coming back into the fold.
Jesus Christ. Here's my thing about Hulk Hogan. Excuse my language. Fuck Hulk Hogan. That's my thing about Hulk Hogan. Like, I am sick. I've had to deal with a lot watching professional wrestling. And it's like, you get to a point where you got to accept certain things where it's like, it's a lowbrow entertainment. And I've been watching since I was a little kid, and I've seen a lot of racism and a lot of stereotypes. And I just got to, like, kind of eat it. Like, you know, Saba Simba just looks weird when you're an adult. And I saw that. Slick, Akeem the African Dream, like, you know, all that, like, this stuff like that. The gangsters and even up to, like, you know, Prime Time, Vince McMahon using the N-word, him come out with a Scully, Triple H telling Booker T to carry my bags, Randy Orton calling Shelton Benjamin uppity, and having, like, an Aunt Jemima mom, and all this nonsense. It's like, I just try to watch and just deal with it, because kind of like it's wrestling. But it's something about the Hulk Hogan thing, because one, it's Hulk Hogan. He's, like, the biggest, you know, the biggest name in wrestling. Two, people tend to forget. They kind of, like, downplay what he said. He didn't, like, accidentally slip and say it. He went on the damn diatribe. Like, I don't want my daughter dating this type of person. Only if they make money. And even if they make money, I'm still going to call them that word.
Hey, that's the one thing, because I'm certainly one of those people that, like, I loved them as a kid. And I, you know, you've got to find a Jeremy Mays type of person to not enjoy Hulk Hogan when they are young. But I mean, I've seen that quote over and over again, and that's just like, you can't. To me, like, it just indicts you, because there's no way after sex, no matter how depressed you were, that you just spill that out. Like, that's, to me, still just, like, one of the most awkward conversations that I've ever heard after sex.
Yes, it's like an episode of Sopranos, basically. And his whole thing is, his apology wasn't, he wasn't sorry that he said it. He was sorry that he got in trouble. Because his whole thing is like, oh, you got to be careful who's recording you. Why? You only got to worry about if you're doing something wrong. If you ain't doing nothing wrong, you got to worry about that crap and all this whole, I got to pot out to everybody. No. And not only the Hogan stuff bothers me, and how WWE, I'm not surprised they brought it back, because it's kind of like, you know, we'll let tempers fly down. We'll let to see how people feel about it. We'll keep it moving. It's like, you know, whatever.
Well, And it kind of shows you what level too that they were floating the balloon that they just did, because they didn't say anything on TV, did they? It's just been an online pretty much thing. So yeah,
kinda
like
we want to dip our toe and see how people react.
They didn't bring him back for a spot at the pay-per-view or anything crazy like that. I think that they're definitely doing a toe dipping with this to kind of gauge how things are before they go any further.
Yeah, and that part doesn't even bother me as much as like fans telling people like me it ain't a big deal or making excuses. Like, you know, why are you worried about that? And people said worse. It's like, he didn't say that about you. And why are you, that's the big thing I always tell people. He's not talking about you. He's talking about us. Like, that's how he feels like, because I grew up like liking Hulk Hogan too. Like, Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan. He was a hero and all this stuff. And he comes out there and he says it about us. And he was, oh, he ain't really racist. I'm like, Hulk Hogan said he was racist. I'm gonna believe what Hulk Hogan said. Like, well, I'm gonna believe what you said he thought he meant. When someone says I'm a racist, I tend to believe him. You don't casually just say that. You don't accidentally say I'm a racist multiple times. He said it, those words out of his mouth after having sex. He basically, you know, said he doesn't want his daughter anywhere around those people, and the only way he would want them around there is just like they were rich and successful. And even then, he still called them that word. Like, even them, well, they still that, but they're successful one. And everybody like, oh, whoa, you gotta let bygones be bygones. Why? Why gotta let bygones be bygones? Like, why do people care about Hulk Hogan being back? When's the last time you went on a network and was like, you know what? I miss watching the 86 Hogan match.
Hey,
what's the point? Like,
that's the
get t-shirts and all this. Oh, he gonna come out after on Raw one day, or he's gonna come out after Mania, he's gonna do the Real American welcome back, thank you Hulk, cut a shitty ass promo, make the New Day do a skit with him so they show everything's forgiven and keep it moving. Like, that's gonna make people feel good about themselves.
That's the other aspect of things that I just really don't get. Like, what is he really gonna do for them at this juncture? Like, everything that he kind of represents is past him. You know, like, there isn't any coming back for one more match now. Like, him and Ric Flair are obviously, like, past that stage of their life. Thank God.
Yes, thank God. I just tell people, where everyone says not a big deal, just think of a Hulk Hogan promo, I think of that Hulk Hogan voice, and substitute brother and dude in his promo and put in the N-word. And just imagine how that would sound. Because I'm like, you think it still sound pleasant? Because that's basically how he feels. Like, you know something bleep. All these bleeps, bleep, bleep. Like, yeah, like, he's basically denigrating a whole race of people. And WWE's like, it ain't that big a deal. Like, imagine you're a wrestler. You're a black wrestler. You got to kind of eat. Because you can't say too much because you get in trouble, get fired. Basically, you got to, like, grin and bear it. Like, you know, I know Titus O'Neil first. Like, imagine how the New Day feels.
Yeah,
Titus O'Neil or anybody that's black that's saying, like, you know, I got to be in this locker room with this Joker, and we got to do this whole song and dance and everything, all's forgiven, knowing he looks at me like a piece of trash.
That was one thing that struck me. Mark Henry was one of the people, I believe TMZ caught him on tape. I did not realize how white his beard had gotten. He said that the locker room was pretty split. And, yeah, again, like, I don't know how you casually say what he said. It's kind of plain as day. Tape or no tape, it's there, and it was said.
It wasn't a slip of the tongue. Like, he stated how he felt crystal clear. Like, it was real straight to the point, like, how he felt. And people, I don't know. What you mean you don't know? You heard it? I heard it. I know. I'm going to believe what he said. Like, you know, like, maybe Bobby Heenan was wrong. He's like, Hulk Hogan was a dirtbag. We didn't listen to him. And it's just funny just hearing that. And then, and it's just weird with, like, WWE. It's kind of like, you know, Vince McMahon bringing him back. Like, Vince McMahon loves Martin Luther King, wants a black babyface champion, but treats black wrestlers like trash. Yeah, he's, like, he's good friends with R-Truth. And Mark Henry probably got a job for life. It's just, like, I don't know how they go hand in hand where you have these strong feelings about certain black people, but you just let Hulk Hogan just say that, and it's like, well, you know, I'm going to make money. Because how much money Hulk Hogan making for them at this point?
That's another thing. Like, to go back to his other recent appearances with promos have been kind of disastrous.
Forgetting his words, forgetting what to say. It's like,
yeah, they have not been good. I mean, so that's another aspect of the whole thing that I just don't understand. Like, if he was still cutting good promos, I guess I'd be all for it, but he seems to be going in the wrong direction. Because we were in the Silver Dome a few years back, and he had a couple other botches when he was out in kind of big spots, other than that one. What's he going to do on TV now, other than show up and not speak?
Do the I'm a Real American, get cheered, people chant welcome back, and everybody that's brown in the paper bag roll their eyes and think about leaving. Because I know Cam has been fighting a good fight, basically, like, you know, reminding people what Hogan said, and I have other friends. And I'm like, y'all can say all you want. This is how I feel. I don't give a damn about Hulk Hogan, and I don't give a damn about anybody that came for him. You say something smart to me, I'll shoot you. We ain't going no back and forth on Twitter. Like, I'm not going to have no, I'm a grown ass man. I'm going to have an argument while you defending a racist saying it ain't no big deal. Like, no. I will shoot you. You thinking I'm less than a human being. That's how I'm handling Hulk Hogan. Fuck Hulk Hogan and anybody that rolls with him. Like, he might have made you happy when he was a kid, just like me. We adults now. He a racist. I don't roll with racists. He not really sorry. He had some half-assed, mealy-mouth apology, and everybody think it's all cool because I'm showing the network. When that special go up on the network, let somebody else watch them and put a review for it. I ain't watching that shit. It's nothing unless he. I'm done with that. I'm done with Hulk Hogan. Fuck Hulk Hogan. Sorry, Hulk Hogan. WWE want to bring him back, they can bring him back. I ain't messing with him, and I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking about closing my pocketbooks at WWE at this point, because y'all do that if y'all want. I'm all right.
Yeah, and honestly, to circle back to the people of Pittsburgh, honestly, if you feel that way, pocket your money, man. Pocket your money. That is the only real protest that they're going to see. You know, don't buy the merch. Don't buy tickets.
Yeah, because they buy tickets and then just the crap. I'm like, they got your money. What you think that's like? Oh, we're going to show them. We're going to turn our back to Roman Reigns when he comes out. You bought the ticket, dumbass. It's over. Like, you turn your back all you want. You don't get a refund if you don't like the match. And I made the joke with you. Like, imagine you went to the movie theater and you watching, like, we went to see Infinity War. It's like, I like the movie, but I don't like the fact that, you know, I'm tired of Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. So every time he showed up, I'm a boo. I'm like, somebody will punch you in the face, you mess up their movie experience like that. Because you mad at Disney giving Robert Downey Jr. extra money. Like, no. Only in wrestling is that allowed. People think that's cool to do. Like, that actually works. It don't work. You know what works? Not showing up. When WCW went out of business, and people thought, well, those fans go WWF, they never went. They stayed home. Because they were WCW fans. They weren't wrestling fans. When Stone Cold left, a lot of fans never came back. When John Cena left, a lot of those fans don't come back. Cause, like, I like John Cena. And they show he ain't there, I'm not there. People go in Chicago chant for CM Punk to come out 6 years after, like, how many years it's been after you retired, don't mean shit. You still spent your money. He ain't coming back. And Vince still got your money. You want to show him something? Don't buy the product. Keep your money in your pocket. Stop hate watching, thinking you're going to change stuff. Ain't how business works.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. And there are, as we have duly pointed out, multiple outlets to watch professional wrestling these days.
Yes. Watch something else and ruin the show for them. Stop ruining the show for me. Go ruin Impact Wrestling. Go to all in there. Ruin that so Cody Rhodes can be mad at you. Yes, he should be. No. Go to New Japan and be mad at Kenny Omega because he wants to go to WWE alleged. Like, stop ruin it for the people that actually want to watch the show. Like, I don't know when I'm going to go to another wrestling pay-per-view again, because I just feel like, even if I'm going to go, I'm just assuming the fans is going to mess it up for me. And I'm not trying to spend all that money to see somebody play around a beach ball. I would try to strangle someone with a beach ball. That happened to me at Mania, and I was so damn pissed. Like, I spent all this money and came all the way down here with these dickhead fans to ruin it for me. And it just left such a sour taste in my mouth. I was like, you know what? The hell with this. And ever since Mania, I haven't been passionate about wrestling like I used to. Like, I remember I skipped Raw for a month, and I didn't feel bad about that. Like, I just didn't watch because, like, stuff was going on. It's like, oh well. Probably Roman Reigns probably could have thrown about something. If people bitched about it, like, I'll catch up later. And I'm like, I enjoy it when I watch it, but if I miss it, I don't feel like I have to go back to rewatch it.
It's that time of the year too. Well, actually, they kind of really shut it down after SummerSlam, and then hibernate until about the Royal Rumble. It is getting to be that time of the year, but yeah, I guess that seems like a good note to close the show on, though.
Yes.
It's really as good as any. Bell Time Beer on my end. Founders Brewing Mothership Series Reds Rye IPA. It got done very early in the show. It was quite tasty. And if you're within the Michigan region, you should be able to pick that up. So go ahead and do so. That's me at Frango11. That's AshrafFarmD. Brand is at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And I will let Shahid take us out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and Hulk Hogan, you can kiss my red and yellow ass. We are out.